Bible is the word of God.
圣经就是神话。
So therefore, the Bible is supernatural.
因此我们可以说圣经里面的话是超自然的。
And this is why no other book in the world has been written in as many languages and for many people and cultures as the Bible itself.
因此从人类史历史当中我们知道世界上没有一本书能够像圣经这样子翻译成那么多的语言传给那么多不同文化的人来读。
Because the Bible is supernatural, it also means it's timeless.
因为圣经是超自然的，因此我们知道它是没有历史时间限制的。
So therefore, the teaching or the precept of the Bible mentioned 2,000 years ago still applicable in today's cultural context.
因此，虽然的圣经里面有2000年以前的教导，但是到我们今天的文化当中依然适用。
So today, I would like to share with you a passage of scripture that is written 2,000 years ago and applied it to today's church.
因此我今天愿意用一段经文来与大家分享，虽然这段经文以及这个教训 是用于2000年以前，但是我们依然可以把这一个活用到今天的社会。
So today's sermon can be considered as a sequel of last week's sermon by George.
我可以说今天的正道就有如上个礼拜 George 弟兄正道的续集。
Except I'm going to focus on the apostolic church model.
唯一不同的是我将会专注于当时使徒们建立教会的一个模式。
And I'm going to read this passage to you which is recorded in Acts chapter 2 verse 42 to 47.
因此在这里我将会先念一段经文给大家听，这一段经文是从使徒行传第二章第42节到47节。
So I'm going to read one verse and Brother George will translate the same verse.
因此我将会先念一节经文，然后请 George 弟兄翻译成中文。
And then the English, I will use the New King James Version for good reason.
那至于英文，我将会用新的钦定本圣经来读，它我是有特别原因的。
Verse 42.
第42节。
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in prayers.
他们都恒心遵守使徒的教训，彼此交接、擘饼、祈祷。
Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles.
众人都惧怕，使徒又行了许多奇事、神迹。
Now all who believed were together.And had all things in common.
信的人都在一处，凡物公用。
And sold their possessions and goods, and divide them among all as anyone had need.
并且卖了田产家业，照个人所需用的分给个人。
Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness.And simplicity of heart.
他们天天同心合意，恒切在店里，且在家中擘饼，存着欢喜诚实的心用饭。
Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
赞美神，得众民的喜爱，主将得救的人天天加给他们。
The reason I use the New King James Version is becauseVerse 42 says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
我之所以用新钦定本这个翻译本来念这节经文呢，特别是因为在第四十二节这边说，他们都恒心遵守使徒的教训，彼此交接、擘饼、祈祷。
And the word doctrine is a very frightful word.
实际上在这边教训这个字有点是教义的意思，在这边是一个是我们所谓的很可怕的一个名词。
And many people view doctrine as something belong to the scholars, belong to theologians.
因为当我们听到教义这两个字的时候，我们通常是想这个是有关神学的学者所专有的名词。
But the NIV version offers a milder translation.
但是我们看见新的英文翻译本在这边用一个比较柔软的话语来翻译这个词。
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
他们这翻译成他们都恒心遵守使徒们的教导。
So doctrine and teaching are almost the same thing.
但实际上教导以及教义实际上他们几乎是同一意思。
In today's language, it means the scripture, the Bible.
但如果我们用今天话语来说，实际上这个教义就是代表今天我们有的圣经。
And I've been with church for a long time, so I've heard people say these things.
我已经在教会有很长一段时间时日，我也常听过有人这么说。
Don't talk to me about doctrine. I don't need any doctrine.
你不要再跟我讲何谓的教义，我不需要听任何的教义。
All I need to know.To know Jesus.
我只要认识耶稣就好了。
Does that sound right?
我们听起来对吗？
My problem is, if you don't have a doctrine, I don't know what kind of Jesus you're talking about.
但是问题是，如果我们不懂我们所信的教义，我们就不知道我们所信的耶稣为何人。
Jesus of your own imagination?
难道耶稣乃是我们自己心里面所产生的幻觉或想象人物吗？
Jesus just merely a teacher or prophet?
难道耶稣只是某一个老师或者某一个先知吗？
In today's United States society, there are two pantheists of the Western spirituality.
那实际上在今天的美国文化已经受到许多泛神主义的这种思维在我们的文化当中。
And one is Oprah Winfrey.
我们其中可以接触到的就是其中一个名主持人，他的名字叫 Oprah Winfrey.
Another one is Deepak.
然后我们知道有另一个所谓的现在新时代的心灵教师，他的名字叫 Chopra。
And if you go to Barnes and Noble, when you enter into the front door, you see these books all over the places.
如果大家到大型的书局，你就会看见他们的书就陈列在书局的门口。
And Oprah's Jesus did not come to die on a cross.
但是我们也看见 Oprah 他心中的耶稣。并不是一位死在十字架上的耶稣。
Oprah's Jesus offer one of many ways to heaven.
那 Oprah 眼中的耶稣，也就是可以引导大家到通天的其中的一个道路。
And Deepak Chopra was an Indian.
那我们知道 Chopra 他是一个印度教的背景。
And then he wrote a book called The Third Jesus, The Christ We Cannot Ignore.
他在这边他写了一本书叫做第三位耶稣，他是我们不能否定的一个基督。
And then his view of the Christ is he is nothing but a spiritual guide to help people to attain enlightenment.
在 Chopra 的眼中的耶稣，他也不过就是一个心灵的教师，能够启发我们对灵界的认识罢了。
How do you know Jesus? Is he the Jesus of history?
那以至于我们现在怎么样能够认识耶稣？难道耶稣也只不过是一个历史人物吗？
And Jesus in the pages of the scripture?
难道耶稣也不过在圣经纸页当中的一个记载吗？
And do you know that Jehovah Witness Jesus and Mormons Jesus is different than the Christians Jesus?
大家可知道耶和华见证会他们眼中的耶稣或者摩门教眼中的耶稣实际上跟我们基督教信仰的耶稣是不同的吗？
How do you tell which one is right?
你怎么知道哪一个是真理呢？
The key word is the doctrine.
那我们唯一最重要的钥匙就是教义。
Now, more than this false teaching, there are many, many things that divert our attention today in the United States.
那除了这一些教导之外，我们今天也遇到很多不同能够分散我们注意力去认识耶稣的东西。
70s, which is my spiritual adolescent years.
记得在60年代跟70年代的时候，正是我属灵年纪还正年幼的时候。
And the charismatic movement explode on center age. And people talk about nothing but charismatic gifts.
那个时候灵恩的运动开始兴起，灵恩的运动跑到整个舞台的中心。那个时候大家所谈的就是灵恩所带出来的一些现象以及奇特的景况。
And they emphasize on the gift of the tongue.
那灵恩派那个时候所注重的就是说方言以 以及不同的灵恩的恩赐。
And then the miracle healing.
然后我们看见他们也强调神奇的医治。
And they attract a lot of people, but they take people away from the scripture.
那个时候他们就引导把人引导离开圣经。
And I also heard of the following saying.
我也听过有人这么说。
The only way they could keep their unity was to lay aside doctrine. So they began to enjoy the fellowship without doctrine or the word.
有人这么说，我们唯一能够合一的方法就是把所有我们所有信仰的教条把它都放在一边，我们所专注的只要能够彼此有美好的团契。
And this is called reductionism. That means you reduce every religion to asingle common denominator, and then we don't talk about other things so that we can achieve unity.
这一种是一种减低的减低任何能够阻挡我们相交的方法，以至于我们要把所有意见不同、所有的教义不同的东西，我们都把它除去，我们只专注我们可以互相可以沟通的地方。
And they call this the spirit.View fellowship or church.
那我这些人就称他们为自己是邻里的交通。
And they emphasize on nothing but brotherhood.
他们所强调的就是彼此兄弟的感情罢了。
And my problem is, I see so many hoods but no brothers.
但是我看的只是关心，但是他们彼此并不是兄弟。
So there's no such thing as a spirit-filled church that does not keep itself continually.And steadfastly in the study of the sacred scripture.
因此，我可以在这边说，没有所谓真实圣灵充满的教会，除非这个圣灵的充满的教会有不断的以及坚定的信仰，在神的话语当中好好的去研读。
So continually and steadfastly to the study of the Bible is the first characteristic of the first church.
因此我们看见恒心的去研读神的话语乃是当时新约教会一个非常特别的情况。
Verse 43 Fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done through apostles.
那个时候我们看到新约教会有一个特点，以至于到第43节说众人都惧怕，使徒又行了许多神迹奇事。
So in the church, we know that everyone has their opinion.
因此我们知道在一个教会当中每一个人有每一个人不同的想法。
So in order to run the church, we need authority.
因此我们如果在教会里面要有一个正常运作的话，我们在教会里面必须要有权柄。
Then how do you know the authentic, or authority is authentic?
但是我们知道谁，我们怎么能够知道谁的权柄是一个真实的呢？
In the early church,God used wonders and signs through the apostles so that people know the apostle is a spiritual authority.
在初代教会，神借着使徒让他们行出许多神迹奇事，让众人明白他们是有权柄的。
The second characteristic of the early church is two key words, verse 44 and 42, togetherness and fellowship.
在初代教会还有另一个两个特点，就是他们都在一处，以及他们凡物公用。
Why they have to gather together?
为什么他们必须要聚集在一起呢？
Because they need to pray together.
因为他们必须要在一起祷告。
And then there's a very famous saying: "The family that pray together stay together."
有一个非常好的名言，就是在家人在一起祷告的家人，他们。永远会在一起的。
Let me change it a bit to say the family that prays and plays together stay together.
但是我让我稍微再改一下这一句话，说家庭如果能够在一起祷告并且在一起玩耍的话，他们也能够一直能够持续下去，成为是一家人。
So this is also the characteristic of the house of Christ love.
这实际上也是主爱之家的一个特点。
We play together. We have a tremendous time for fun and good time.
我们也一起玩耍，我们有一个非常经常有在一起愉快的时间。
So when we get together, we enjoy the love of God.
所以当我们一起有团契的时候，我们同享从神而来的爱。
And then we enjoy the peace of Christ.
我们也同享从神而来的平安。
And we also share in the joy, delighted of what they were learning in the apostolic teaching.
我们在这边也很愉快的，也享受我们可以从使徒教导里面能够学到，也应用到我们生活当中。
So first, from now on, during the lunchtime, we talk about the sermon that we just heard and share with one another.
所以在当我们吃饭的时候，我们可以讨论刚刚所听到的道，我们可以在借着团契的吃饭的时候互相讨论。
And then the other thing, I think we do very well.
然后另外一件事，我想我们也做得不错的是
，They ate a lot of meal together.
我们经常一起吃饭。
And then in the early church, they also incorporate the meal with the Lord's Supper together.
实际上在初代教会的时候，他们把普通的聚餐就融入他们主餐，有如主餐的仪式。
So when they take the bread and the cup, and they view it as a celebration.
所以当他们一起吃主的饼喝主的杯的时候，他们认为是一个庆典。
Now here comes to a very difficult, and you don't want to hear.What the Bible said.
但是接下来的，我想大家是很难接受的。
They share all things in common.
他们把所有的东西都放在一起，凡物公用。
You want to share your thing with your brothers and sisters?
你愿意把
Everything.
你愿意把你所有的东西都与拿出来与大家一起分享吗
？And many people who advocate communism use these Bible words as their explanation.
很多人喜欢共产主义的思想，他们就用这些经文来支持他们的论点。
But I'm going to tell you in the next few minutes that you don't have to worry about this.
但是我接下来几分钟，我想跟大家说，大家不要为着这些经文所困扰。
In the atheistic communism regime, the state owns everything.
但是大家如果可以想象，在一个无神论的共产主义的政体底下。所有的东西都是由政府所拥有。
And in God's kingdom, God owns everything.
但是在神的国度里面，乃是神拥有了一切。
In the totalitarian regime, the state determines what we need and how we should desire to use our earthly resources.
在共产主义的政府底下，乃是政府决定人民需要什么，人民能够从政府。得到什么？我们从日常生活又需要什么
？The Bible teaches us that we determine what we need, and we have the freedom that God gives to us to use the earthly resources.
但是从圣经的教导乃是我们人去决定我们需要什么，我们乃是有自由去决定我们怎么样用地上的资源来活。
In the commons regime, the wealth is redistributed by government coercion.
在共产的一个思想底下。所有人的财富乃是由政府来决定怎么样重新分配。
But in the church, we share our property voluntarily.
但是在一个教会的一个环境底下，乃是所有的人来分享东西的时候，乃是出于自愿。
So in the atheistic communism regime, no one has private property.
因此在共产的政体的思想底下就是没有一个人有私有财产
But the laws of God no matter whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament is designed to protect and endorse the legitimacy of the private property
但是在圣经的教导底下不论是旧约圣经或者新约圣经圣经都告诉我们要保护以及要 保全我们每一个人各有的财产
Example Two of the Ten Commandments says this.
比如我举一个例子，在十诫里面，一共有两个诫命是这么说的。
You shall not steal.
你不可以偷盗。
That means what? Means you have some your own property, and I cannot take your property as my own.
这个代表什么呢？乃是每一个人他有个人的财产，另一个人不能够去拿取这个财产成为他自有。自己所有。
Another commandment is you shall not covet your neighbor's house.
另一个就是你不可以贪恋你 邻舍的房子
or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
或者说他拥有的任何东西，你不要去贪恋它。
When we come to the New Testament, we heard a story like this.
我们来到新约圣经的时候，我们也看到一个故事。
Ananias and Sapphira, which is a husband and wife, and they sold their house. They told the apostle that they will give the entire proceeds to the church.
在新约圣经里面，我们看见一个故事。这边有一对夫妻亚拿尼亚以及撒菲拉，他们把他们自己的财产卖了，然后把他们自己财产所卖的所得拿到使徒的面前。
But when they get the money, they only give a portion to the church and keep the rest.
但是当他们卖了他们自己财产的时候，他们所得的金钱，他们只把一部分拿到使徒面前。
And then Peter scolded them.
然后彼得这个使徒就很生气的训诫他们。
Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal?
他说这个财产难道不就是你自己的吗？你何必要这样子呢？所有卖得的钱财你自己要拥有也可以，你为什么要称作是你把所有的东西都卖了，把所有的钱 给出来了呢？
So we know that Bible advocate private ownership.
因此我们看见圣经教导也告诉我们，我们是可以有个人财产的。
Then come to the original question, how can you explain all things in common?
但是我们要怎么样去解读这段圣经，说每一个人他们都把东西拿出来凡物公用呢？
First of all, the Bible never requires us to give up private property.
第一点，我们要知道圣经从来没有告诉我们要把个人的财产全部拿出来。
The scripture just tell us what had happened, but it is not a precept.
圣经只是告诉我们，记录下来一个历史上的一个实际发生过的事件，它并不是是一个教义。
So they gave because they want to give.
大家给乃是愿意，他们愿意奉献出来。
From their heart,
乃是从他们心底发出来的。
And as a result, the Lord loves the cheerful giver.
实际上神是给欢喜这些欢心乐意奉献的人。
So they give because they want to.
大家给乃是出于甘心乐意的。
They want to please our Lord.
他们也甘心的乐意借着奉献来讨我们主的欢喜。
But again, there's also a historical context behind this.
但实际上在那个时候，我们知道当时的历史背景是是引发出这个是有它历史背景原因的。
The church at that moment was under severe persecution.
因为当时的教会正在经历过一个极大的迫害当中。
If you don't share, the government will take away from you anyway.
因为如果你不拿出来分享，政府就会把你的东西拿走了。
And after all, many families have been confiscated their property, and they are really in need.
也在那个时候，许多的家庭他们的所有的财产已经被充公没收了，因此他们有一个非常实际上生活的需要。
So they have a practical necessity to share the property where they endowed from the hand of God.
因此在他们当时的生活情况底下，他们必须要有人能够愿意慷慨地拿出东西使大家能够凡物公用。
So it is in this context.Those people share their things in common.
因此在这个历史环境的背景底下，大家愿意把东西拿出来凡物公用。
So at this moment we need to learn that the early church people pray, ate, worship, play, fellowship together.
因此我们看见当时的初代教会，他们一起祷告，一起吃饭，一起玩耍，他们也一起侍奉。
So in short, these people became close-knit friends.
因此这一群人成为一个非常紧密非常亲密的团体。
And I like the English word close-knit.
我很喜欢这个英文上面讲的所谓亲密团体，就是互相交织，他的情感是交织在一起的。
And the question is, what knit these people together?
但是有什么东西使他们的情感可以交织在一起呢？
The answer is the covenant.
实际上答案就是在这个约。
In the Old Testament time,
因为在旧约 旧约时代
God through Moses established a covenant with the Israelites.
神在西乃山透过摩西与他的子民立约。
And then these people become a holy nation.
而这一群人就成为一个圣洁的国民。
And I remember Pastor Rob spent many weeks talk about the covenant.
我也记得 Pastor Rob 曾经在我们讲台上面花了几个礼拜的时间讲到有关约的这个概念。
And he said, what does a holy nation mean?
他也提到什么叫做圣洁的国民。
Holiness has two aspects.
实际上圣洁就代表两个层面。
First, set apart and distinguish from all other people.
圣洁其中的意思就是你分别出来与其他的人不同。
And be granted the moral likeness.
另外他们得到的是从神而来与神相似的道德观。
What's the likeness of God?
什么叫与神相似呢？
And God saying in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, He said, be holy for I am holy.
什么叫与神相似？我们看见从旧约圣经或新约圣经都提到，就是要圣洁，因为神乃是圣洁。
When it comes to the Mosaic Covenant,
但是我们如果来到摩西的约的时候，我们就会看见这样的一个比较。
And there are many, many aspects, but one aspect was a conditional one.
我们看见有很多不同的层面去了解这个约，其中的一个就是
conditional，
就是有条件的约。
It says, if Israel keeps covenant with God, she will have the satisfying privilege.
就是如果以色列民要与神立约的话，他们必须要达到神给他们的一个标准，以至于他们能够成为圣洁。
Now let us jump several thousand years to the Jesus time.
所以我们如果马上就跳跃几千年之后到耶稣的时代的时候
，And Jesus on the Last Supper used his blood to set up a new covenant with the disciples.
耶稣在他最后晚餐的时候用他自己用这个杯代表他自己的血与门徒立了一个约。
And as a result, the Christian become a holy nation.
那个时候所有的基督徒就借着这个杯成为圣洁的国民。
So if we compare Moses and Jesus, we will find out Jesus is more honorable.
所以当我们比较摩西与耶稣的时候，我们就看见耶稣比摩西更应该得到荣耀。
And I'm going to read Hebrew chapter 3, one verse.
但是我在这边 two verses. 我在这边也读一下希伯来书两节经文给大家听。
Verse 5.
What chapter?
3.
在希伯来书第三章
第五节。
Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future.他比摩西算是配得更多的荣耀，好像建造房屋的比房屋更尊荣。
And Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses.
然后耶稣比摩西更算是更配得到更多的荣耀。
Just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself.
就好像建造房屋的比房屋更尊荣。
And Deuteronomy also talk about a prophet greater than Moses who will come.And whom we shall listen to.
我们在生命记里面也听到将会有一个建造房屋的他要来。
So now when you see the, whether it's Old Testament time or New Testament time, when these people enter into the covenant relationship, they become the people of God.
但是我们从不论从旧约或新约，我们都知道，当这一批人来到神面前与神立约的时候，他们就成为一个圣洁的国民，他们就成为神的国民了。
And the covenant has two aspects of it.
但是我们也看见这个约里面有两个层面。
Which can be remembered by looking at the cross.
我们要了解这个两个层面，很简单的，我们只要看十字架就能了解。
The vertical beam representing a covenant relationship with God.
这个垂直的这一条木条，我们可以看见，可以解释说我们与神的关系。
And a horizontal beam representing the relationship, the covenant relationship with God's people.
当我们看见横的那条木头，我们可以说是我们人彼此所立约，在神立约的一个关系。
Now, this is the concept about covenantal relationship.
这个就是约的一个概念。
And how do we apply this into our life?
那我们能够怎么样把这个概念应用到我们日常生活呢？
And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 16 and 17 to you.
我在这边我将会念哥林多前书第十章十六节到十七节给大家听。
And this is also a passage that we can use during the Lord's Supper.
我们通常也用这一节经文来主持我们的圣餐。
In addition to the 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
除了在哥林多前书十一章的经节之外，我们还可以用这里的经节。
It's not a cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ.
我们所祝福的杯岂不是统领基督的血吗？我们所擘开的饼岂不是统领基督的身体吗
？And it's not the bread that we break a participation in the blood of Christ because there is one loaf we.Who are many are one body, for we are shared in one loaf.
我们所擘开的饼，岂不是统领基督的身体吗？我们虽多，仍是一个饼，一个身体，因为我们都是分受这一个饼。
So from these two verses, we see several key words.
所以从这里面，我们看见有几个非常重要的名词。
One is participation.
第一个就是我们统领。
And then the blood and the body of Christ.
另一个就是血以及主的身体。
Then we see one loaf.
然后我们看见是一块饼。
So all this concept can summarize into two important words.
因此，我们可以把这几个概念，我们可以总括来说，可以总括成底下的这个两个字。
One is sharing.
第一个就是分享。
Another one is oneness.
另一个就是合一。
So we know that the covenant, Without a covenant, there is no real union.
因此，如果没有约的话，我们没有所谓实际上的合一的。
So I came across a very interesting thing when I do my reading.
因此，当我在做这个研究的时候，我发现一个很有趣的事。
You know what? United States is called United States of America.
大家可知道吗？我们称这个美国就是叫美国联邦政府。
And then, do you know what's the Hebrew word for USA?
但是大家可知道，在希伯来文他们怎么样来称呼美国这个国家吗
？Hebrew, they call it the lands of the covenant.
在从希伯来文来讲美国的话，是代表约的地。
So we know that the fruit of the covenant is unity, union.
因此，这个因着合一。约里面的合一就产生这里面的果效。
So it doesn't mean that our idea, our thinking are all uniform.
并不是说我们每一个人的思想我们是要来统一的。
So union means in the covenant we're seeking for God's will.
合一的意思乃是大家都愿意在借着这个约来到神里面来寻求神的旨意。
Now so far we are one step closer to our application.
那我们几乎就要到达我们怎么把这个概念运用到生活了。
I'm going to give you a more concrete way to think.
我要给大家更有实际的方法把这个概念运用到生活当中。
And Hebrew chapter 9 verse 16 to 17 says.
但是我们看见希伯来书第九章十六到十七节这么说。
In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it.
凡有一命必须等到留一命的人死了。
Because a will is enforced only when someone has died.
因为人死了一命才有效力。若有留一命的人尚在，那尊一命还有用处吗
？It is right. It never takes effect while the one who makes it is living.
是的，当一个人留下一命的时候，这个一命一点功用都没有，除非这个人死了。
Now today the law is very creative. They come up with some living trust.
但是我们现在看见我们在现在的文化是非常 灵活运用的，我们有所谓我们的主用了这个概念，就是活的人的信托。
But this is not what we are talking about today.
但是这并不是我们今天所要讲的主题。
And you know the will, in 中文说遗嘱 is called the will of the testament.
大家可知道，在旧约里面，我们讲到遗嘱这个字是用来是。
今天遗嘱的英文名字叫 the will of testament. So therefore, the testament means a covenant.
是见证的遗命。那我们在这边就是说，这个见证就是神给我们的遗命。
So if you have a will for your children,
因此如果你给你的孩子立了一个遗嘱，
this will mean nothing until you die.
这个遗嘱并不会产生功效，除非你死。
Now let's relate this to the Bible.
让我们把这一个概念运用在圣经里面。
First John chapter 3 verse 16.
我们看见约翰一书三章十六节这边说，
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.
我们将所看见所听见的传给你们，使你们与我们相交，我们乃是与父并他儿子耶稣基督相交的。
Now Jesus laid down his life, and therefore the vertical covenant become effective.
我们就看见耶稣为我们舍了他自己的命。
So in order that the horizontal covenant, that means the covenant established among our brothers and sisters, has to be effective until we die.
我们也看见，因着耶稣，我们知道遗命要能够成就的话，必须要给遗命的那个人死了，遗命他的遗嘱才能有功效。
And you said, wait a minute, you really want me to die?
那我们就说，难道你一定要我们死才遗命才有效率吗
？And the Bible says you lay down your life.
但是圣经告诉我们，我们必须要舍命。
So to laying down your life means to put your brothers, sisters' interests before your own.
什么叫做为自己的兄弟姐妹舍命呢？乃是把别人的好处放在我们自己好处之先。
And of course, lay down your life also mean martyrdom.
那实际上，你愿意牺牲这个意思，就是代表一个殉道的概念。
But let me tell you, if you are not willing to lay down your life and put your brothers, sisters' interests before your interests, God will not choose you to be martyr.
大家可知道，如果你没有意愿愿意把自己的利益放在其他弟兄姊妹利益之下的话，神不会拣选你为他殉道的。
And when I prepared my sermon, I accidentally came across the saying.
那当我在准备这个讲章的时候，我在一个很偶然的情况底下，我看到了一句话。
It was a saying of Aristotle.
我就看到阿里斯多德所讲的一句话。
He said, "My best friend is the man who is wishing me well, wishes it for my sake."
他说，我最好的朋友乃是愿意，因着我的缘故来为我的好处着想的。
And sometimes we do wishing people well.
很多时候我们是希望别人好。
But we're wishing them well because by doing so, I benefit from it.
但是很多时候我们希望别人好，乃是希望借着这一个举动我们自己也得到利益。
So laying down life means totally for the benefit of my brothers and sisters.
但是我们如果愿意摆上自己生命的话，乃是说完全是为着对方的好处来着想。
So therefore the laying down life is really an obligation.
所以当我们愿意摆上自己的生命的时候，这个就是生命上的运用了。
So with this obligationwhich is in the covenant relationship, will generate some covenant behavior.
所以因着这个约，我们很自然的就会产生某一种生活上的一个态度。
If you go to the New Testament and do a search on two phrases, one another and each other.
如果我们到新约圣经去做一些文字上面的寻找的话，我们就专门去找彼此以及合一这两个字，两个词。
And then you will find wash one another's feet.
然后我们就会看见我们彼此 就会看见一句话说要彼此洗脚
love one another,
我们要彼此相爱
build up one another,
我们要彼此建立
accept one another,
我们要彼此接纳
admonish one another,
我们就要彼此顾念
greet one another with the holy kiss,
我们就要借着亲吻来来
问安
serve one another,我们要彼此服侍
bear one another's burden,
我们要彼此担当彼此的重担
show forbearance to one another,
我们要彼此忍耐
and to be subject to one another,
我们也彼此顺服
teach one another,
我们要彼此教导
comfort one another,
我们要彼此安慰
encourage one another,
我们要彼此鼓励
stimulate one another to love and good deeds,
我们要激励彼此有好的服侍
confess to one another,
我们要彼此认罪
be hospitable to one another,
我们要彼此接待
clothe with humility for one another,
我们要彼此在彼此谦卑的对待
and lastly it happened twice, forgive one another,
然后最后这个在新约里面讲了两次我们要彼此饶恕
and then if you go beyond these two phrasesAnd get the concept of it, you will find out it appears 50 times.
如果我们把同样的概念继续去搜寻的话，我们实际上在圣经里面讲到彼此这个概念，讲了另外又讲了50次。
So the covenant behavior should brought about a new attitude to the church.
因此，这个约的关系应该是把我们整个教会提升到一个不同的态度，生命态度。
New culture.Well, used to be I, me, and mine.
因为在现今的社会里面，我们总想的是自己，我的。
But this transform a new culture will be we, our, and ours.
但是这个约的概念却可以把我们提升到成为一个我们，我们的。
And we also engender a new lifestyle.
这也产生让我们产生一个新的生活形态。
That means we spend more time together in a non-religious setting.
因此，我们借着这一个概念，我们就再有更多的机会彼此在，甚至在一个不是在一个宗教的气氛底下，我们也经常在一起。
Maybe in people's house.
也许在你们的家中。
Maybe in Starbucks.
也许你们在咖啡馆。
Or anything that you can imagine.
或者任何你可以想象的地方，我们尽量都在一起。
Why brother and sister have to be together all the time?
那为什么弟兄姊妹要经常在一起呢
？Because we want to foster accountability.
因为我们要在这个里面，我们要建立彼此信靠的关系。
So make sure everyone is walking in the light.
我们也要确认每一个人都在光中来活。
And then to foster fraternity, that means our brotherhood.
也是在培养我们在彼此兄弟们的关系
and enhance our fellowship so that we can share and having things in common
然后我们借着我们彼此我们开始发现我们彼此相同的地方
and then the spirit of camaraderie because we are the fellow soldiers
因为我们在一起的时候实际上我们就是彼此在一起作战的勇士
and then we build up the love whichglue everything together.
然后我们借着爱把每一个人都粘在一起。
And this concept of fellowship is not just restricted to the passage I just read.
那实际上这种团契的概念不单单局限于我刚刚所讲的经文。
So Apostle John also said the following thing.
那实际上使徒约翰也讲了底下的经文。
That is in 1 John chapter 1.Verse 3,
也就是约翰一书一章三节
that which we have seen, we means the apostles, John and the apostles, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son Jesus Christ.
约翰在这边说我们将所看见的这个我们就是使徒们我们将所看见的所听见的传给你们使你们与我们相交我们乃是与父并他儿子耶稣基督相交的
So quite clear this vertical and horizontal covenant relationship is once emphasized
所以我们在这边看见再一次这个垂直以于这个横的这个关系的约的这个关系再一次在这边表明出来。
And let us go to verse 46.
让我们再一次到第四十六节这边说。
And they talk about from house to house.
我们看见他们到不同的家人家里面去。
You know, at that time in Jerusalem, they have 3,000 Christians.
所以在那个时候我们知道在耶路撒冷那个时候一共有3000名基督徒。
How can they gather together on Sunday?
那他们那个时候怎么能够在礼拜天的时候聚会呢？
There's no building.
因为那个时候他那个时候并没有任何的建筑物。
So they have no choice but break down these 3,000 people into small groups.
因此他们必须要分别在不同的人家里面聚会。
So this is the beginning of what we call cell group.
所以在这个时候，我们就可以看见，那个就是当初代教会的所谓的细胞小组。
But again, each house church must have a leader.
但是我们也知道，每一个家里面聚集的地方，他们必须要有一个带领人。
Now 3,000 people. If we assume 20 people in a house, then we need 150 leaders.
如果我们想象一共有3000名基督徒在必须要在不同家里面聚会的话，如果我们想每一个聚会点一共有20个人的话，我们就必须要有150位带领人。
So you may say 20 people is too big.
那也许你说哇，20个人聚在一起，那实在太大了。那我们就说10个人一起聚会好了。
We need 300 leaders.
那如果这样子来算的话，我们就必须要有300位带领人。
Then the question is, where does leader come from?
那马上一个问题就是哪里可以找到这么多带领人呢？
And the answer is discipleship training.
但是我们发现他们就是由他们是经历门徒训练所训练出来的。
This is why the first verse we read today is they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
也就是我们今天所读的第一节经文这边说他们都恒心遵守使徒的教训。
So this is so important to produce new leaders.
也就是借着这个门徒训练他们训练出这些带领人是非常重要的。
Should it be our priority in the next 2 years?
难道这不应该成为我们教会首要的要遵循的东西吗？
That's something we can think about.
这是我们所要去思考的。
Now, in addition to love God, care for people, and sensitive to seekers, and be always available to help and listen.
除了我们要爱神，要照顾彼此，我们必须要对其他寻求真理的人要有一个敏锐的心，也要一直有让我们自己能够服侍别人之外。
In my opinion, HOC are doing very well in this.
我刚刚所提的，我认为在我们教会所做的是非常的好。
Now we talk about witnessing or proclaim the gospel.
但是当我们谈到我们如何与外人做见证的时候，传福音的时候
，And I think there are 3 steps.
我可以说一共有3个步骤。
And I play a little bit word game and use 3 words starting out with the letter P.
所以我就借着三个英文字来讲这个步骤，每一个英文字都是从 P 这个字母来。
First one is a presence.
第一个，你必须要出现。
You have to be mixed with people, otherwise how can you tell them the gospel?
你必须要在人家的生活当中出现，不然你就没有机会把福音传给他们。
And the next thing is proclamation.
第二个就是做一个宣告。
So many times.Other people, but we never talk about Jesus.
很多时候我们与其他人在一起，但是我们从来不提到耶稣。
We're missing a very important step.
我们实际上在中间这个传福音的过程就失去了一个非常重要的环节。
And then the last step is persuasion.
第三个就是说服。
This is the hard work.
这是一个非常困难的步骤。
Now, if you are a cell leader and You may share your testimony maybe once. Every Sunday, you have any nothing to share?
也许在某一种情况底下，你如果是带领人，你有机会讲到你自己的生命见证。但是如果讲到每一个礼拜天，大家有机会如此传递自己的生命见证吗？
And honestly, how many of us can do well in this area?
那实际上我们必须扪心自问，到底有多少人能有这样的把握，能够好好做到做见证的这个步骤？
1 Peter 3:15 says.
但是我们也看见彼得前书第三章十五节这么说。
But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, this we do well.
只要心里尊主基督为圣，这个我们是做得不错的。
And then it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have.
接下来说，有人问你们心中盼望的缘由。就要常做准备，以温柔敬畏的心回答个人。
Can you do a good job in this area?
大家可以在这一方面能够做一个好，做出一个好榜样吗？
I tell you, this is very difficult.
我可以跟大家说，这实际上是非常困难的。
After my retirement,
当我退休以后
，I set up my mind to answer this question.
我就立志要能够做到这一点。
How do I give the reason for the hope?
我到底能够把我心中的盼望如何表达出来呢？
It's very difficult.
我发现非常的困难。
The trouble we have is we tend to do the things that we do well.
我们的问题就是我们喜欢做我们自己的长处。
We invite people.
我们经常邀请人。
And then we care people. We do well.
我们经常关心人，我们做得很好。
But we shun away the things that are difficult to do.
但是我们很多时候尽量去避免我们做不好的地方。
And it's not without reasons.
但是这个并不是没有原因的。
For one thing, it's very hard work.
第一点就是因为它本身是一个非常困难的工作。
And the most alarming thing is we don't see instant results.
因为最困难是我们没有办法能够看见立竿见影的果效。
And we tend to look for fast return.An instant benefit.
我们经常希望能够看见马上有结果的工作。
And forget about the steadfastness of learning the scripture.
那我们缺少能够存心遵守使徒教训的一个心态。
But the trouble is only when we put our heart steadfastly to learn the scripture can we bring about revival.
但是实际上我们除非真的恒心遵守使徒的教训去学习的话，我们才能带出教会的复兴。
So if God gives us 200 people, do we have enough leader to take care of them?
所以如果神给我们200个人，我们有足够的带领人去带领这些人吗？
I was thinking that if the past 4 years we devote ourselves to the scripture, and what would this church have become?
我在想，如果我们过去4年都存心的去遵守使徒的教训，好好学习这话语。我想我们今天的教会的光景可能不是如此了。
And then let's look at verse 42.
我们来看看第四十二节这边说。
And it's related to the revival of the church.
我们就知道这个是跟他们教会后来蓬勃发展是有关系的。
And the Lord add to the church daily those who were being saved.
我们就看神就加添他们得救的人数。
I spent a lot of time in pondering about
我经常花很多的时间在思考这一节经文的意思。
And God didn't say, the Lord add to the church daily all the people in our community.
神没有在圣经没有并不是说主将得救的人把所有在这社区的人都加给他们。
It says the Lord add to the church daily those who were being saved.
他在这边说神将主将得救的人天天加给他们。
This is very interesting.
这是很有意思。因为你不是得救，不然就是没有得救。那所谓得救是什么意思呢？
And I believe being saved means God under His marvelous wisdom choose some people that have been convicted by the Holy Spirit of the guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment.
我相信得救的意思乃是神依着他奇妙的主权去主动的改变一个人，让他们相信他们是有罪的，他们需要来到神面前，以至于他需要神的恩典，他们得救了。
Only when Holy Spirit do this step
只有圣灵做了这样的事情的时候，他们得救的时候，他们才会进入教会。
Only when we have enough leader, God will perform miracles through us.
只有当我们有足够的带领人的时候，神才会借着教会来照顾他自己的子民。
And I'd like to give you an illustration.
我希望给大家一个比喻。
And I don't know whether it's original or not. I think I am.
我不知道这是不是第一个人有想出这样的例子，我想我是第一位。
And this illustration can answer many, many questions related to the church.
我想这个例子可以能够对我们教会做出很大的回答回应。
I view church as a hospital.
我把教会看作像是一座医院。
And we Christians are nurses.
我们所有的基督徒就有如护士。
And the most important thing is Jesus Christ, our great physician.
但是最重要的乃是医院里面大医生就是耶稣基督他自己。
Now, no matter what this hospital look how magnificent,
无论你这个医院外表看起来有多么的光面堂皇，
even you live next door to the hospital.
就算你住在医院的旁边
，No one wants to go to hospital.
没有一个人愿意，不论这个医院到底有多漂亮，没有一个人愿意走进这个教会。
You want to go to hospital?
你愿意去教去医院吗
？No one.
没有一个人喜欢去医院的。
But one day, when the person realized that he was sick,
但是除非有一天这个人突然发现他自己生病了。
He doesn't like to go to hospital.
他不喜
want to.
他一点也不想，他也不喜欢去医院。
For example, if I have brain cancer.
比如说，如果说我得了脑癌
，I don't mind driving 70 miles to the Sloan Kettering.
但是因为我得了脑癌，我就对于我如果要开70个英里去一个特别治癌症的医院的话，对我来说这个不是一个问题。
Because they have a good physician over there.
因为我知道在那里有好的医生团队。
So we come to the conclusion that the church revival is the work of the Holy Spirit.
所以我们知道，当一个教会复兴起来的时候，乃是借着圣灵的工作。
And in His marvelous wisdom, He assigns some people to our church.
借着他奇妙的智慧，他在教会里面拣选了一批人。
And then His selection is based.In my opinion, and also according to scripture, how well we can steadfastly study the Bible.
他也拣选这一群人，看我们能够在主的话语面前如何好好的去研读遵行。
So lastly, I will give you an illustration and I will be through.
然后最后我给大家做一个例子。
We are facing a very tremendous big problem.
我们面对一个非常大的问题。
Yes, we need to develop the covenant behavior.
是的，我们必须要活出一个守约的生活形态。
And we also need to devote ourselves to the Bible.
是的，我们也必须要把我们的生命投入圣经的研读里面。
But the question, the king-size question, how?
但是最重要的问题是如何这样去做。
And I don't have any magic.
我并不会变任何的魔术。
But I give you.One Bible story, which is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 35:1-10.
但是我给大家举一个例子，这一段事迹记载在耶利米书35:1-10.
It is a very unfamiliar story.
这是对大家非常不熟悉的一段故事。
So you go home and read it, and let me say it one more time. Jeremiah chapter 35:1-10.
所以我再一次提醒大家，记得回去要看这一节。这一段经文，这是记在耶利米书35:1-10。
And one day God talked to Jeremiah, prophet.
当有一天神对耶利米先知这么说。
And he said, "You invite a group of people called Rechabites."
他说你必须要请一群人，这一群人是利甲族人。
Never heard of it.
大家也许对利甲族根本完全不熟悉，不是吗？
And Jeremiah said, "Okay, I do it."
然后耶利米先知说好，我会去。
And God said, "You talk to the temple servant and ask them to prepare something."
然后他告诉神对耶利米说，你 跑到圣殿里面的这些服侍的人，你叫他们去准备一些东西。
And those temple servants prepare a tray with cups on it.
那这一群在圣殿里面服侍的人，他们就准备了一个托盘，托盘上面放了很多杯子。
And then they fill up the cups with wine.
然后这些服侍的人，这些仆人把托盘上面的杯子里面都盛满了酒。
And then Jeremiah went to the people and said, "Follow me."
然后耶利米就到利甲族这一群人说，来，跟着我来。
And he led them to the temple.
然后把他们这一群人带到圣殿里面。
And set them down, in a side room.
然后请他们就在旁边的一个房间坐下来。
And Jeremiah.
然后这个时候，先知耶利米就把这个托盘上的这个酒带到他们面前。然后请他们喝托盘上面的酒。
And as Jeremiah entered into the room,
当耶利米进入这个房间的时候，
and he sensed great discomfort among the people.
结果就发现在里面坐的人非常的不自在。
Every people was sitting there.
当所有人坐在那边的时候，
and no one talked.
没有一个人说话。
And all of a sudden, the leader of this Rehabites stood up and said,
结果这个时候利甲族里面的一个长者他就站起来了，他说，
I'm sorry, did you know that we don't drink wine and that we haven't done so for generations?
他说，很对不起，难道你不知道我们不喝酒吗？我们已经几代下来我们都不喝酒的。
And Jeremiah said, why so?
然后耶利米就问他说，你们为什么不喝酒呢？
And because one of our ancestors by the name ofJenadab, a very devout man, command us never to drink wine or live in a building.
因为我们的先祖，我们祖先利甲的儿子约拿达吩咐我们，我说我们所有的后代都不可以喝酒。
And they practiced this until that day.
然后他们一直遵循这样的教训，一直直到那个时候。
So this is the end of the story.
这个就是整个故事的结束。
But what do we learn?
但是我们学到什么呢？
Is it fascinating? These pagans, by sheer power of the will, comply with the top set of the rules for living?
但是我们看见这个外邦人，他们就是单单凭着他们的意志去遵守了一个非常严厉的教导。
And how about Christians?
但是我们必须要想想我们自己基督徒呢？
And we supposedly to be supernaturally endowed.
我们应该是在很超自然的底下，我们愿意摆上我们自己的生命。
And yet we live a duplicity life.
但是我们却活在一个双面人的情况底下。
And with our lips we praise God.
有的时候我们用我们的嘴唇我们赞美主。
But our hearts are away from God.
但是我们的心却远离神。
So how do we follow God's commandment?
但是我们要如何遵循神的诫命呢？
I'm no magic, but one word, determination.
我实在没有给大家能够任何的魔法能够让大家能够达到，但是我可以跟大家讲一句，就是你的意志。
Just like the Rehabites did.
就好像这个利甲族人一样。
You know what happened in the Bible says?
大家可知道圣经里面怎么讲吗？
God bless this Rehabites.
神就祝福利甲族人。
And then,punish his own people due to their willful disobedience.
神却惩罚他们自己的子民这种刻意悖逆的心态。
So with this, I leave you to think about.
所以我就把这个故事让大家好好的去思想。
And I know I've said a lot, but let me summarize in a few words.
我知道我刚刚讲了许多，我愿意借着再用几句话来总结。
Number one.Continuously and steadfastly devote ourselves to the apostles' doctrine.
第一，都要恒心遵守使徒的教训。
This we ought to do.
这是我们应该做的。
And then sharing a fellowship is become the characteristic of our church.
然后我们要彼此交接，应该是我们教会已经有的特点。
And discipleship training should be the prerequisite of evangelism.
在我们传福音之前，我们必须要有门徒训练。
And God is responsible for bringing people in our church.
神乃是神他自己的作为，他自己把人带到我们当中。
And our job is to prepare ourselves.
而我们的工作乃是预备自己。
Let us pray.
让我们一起祷告。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage.
天父，我们谢谢你，为着你自己预备我们给我们的经文，我们感谢你。
May the house of Christ's love be a church like the early church.
愿我们主爱之家就有如初级教会一般。
We love to read the Bible.
我们热爱读圣经。
We love you and love to meet with our brothers and sisters.
我们爱你，也愿意借着读与弟兄姊妹一起来借着读经彼此相交。
And with our complete trust in you that you will add people to the church.
我们也完全的信靠你，你会把人带到我们当中。
We pray this in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告是奉主基督耶稣的名。
阿门。
阿门。